This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Let's do this thing!
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
My grandmother's name was Giovanna Domenica Tavernero. When she'd get mad, she'd start spewing in Italian. I never knew what she was talking about.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpup. College basketball.
Kemba Walker, step back, Walker, cardiac Kemba, does it again, UConn wins at the buzzer.
Everything happening in the sports world.
LeBron James with no regard for human life.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
I mean, they'd take one look at me and they'd say, next, whatever happened to Ethel?
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me as always on a sunny Monday afternoon, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, this is the week that we have been waiting for. With sub-state basketball rolling into town, we've got all sorts of games coming up throughout the area tonight. We've got games on Tuesday night. We've got games on Thursday night. We've got games on Friday night. And then hopefully a whole lot of basketball at the Roundhouse on Saturday
night. Well, that's what we're hoping for. And we're going to get out in the area tonight and see our peeps heading to the Dridger Nation.
The greatest rivalry west of the Mississippi.
I'm not going to say it because I'll get an email from a guy that says I'm being stupid. But anyway, we're going to head down to Mound Ridge. Inman Mound Ridge should be a great one on the girls' side. A 4-5 game. Generally, those are the most competitive in the sub-state. Mound Ridge is the home team, so they're the 4-seed. Inman's the 5-seed. They've split this year. Brian Holloway talked about it on our coach's show. He's the Mound Ridge girls coach, and we talked about it on our coach's show on Saturday, and probably go right down to the wire, and I'll be surprised if it's not packed, even though it's a Monday night. When Mound Ridge and Inman play, it's a spectacle.
So we've got all sorts of sub-state basketball to talk about later on in today's show. We have some bullpup basketball to talk about, especially because of the way that they ended the regular season last Friday night with a couple of wins over the Circle T-Birds. So we've got that to talk about. But before we do that, I think I need to make a trip out to Viva Las Vegas here pretty soon and cash in my winnings. From the very beginning of this college basketball season, there have been people, whether they're KU fans, whether they're KU haters, whether they're national media people that don't really know a whole lot about KU, there have been all sorts of people saying, there's no way that KU can win the Big 12 this season. There's no way that they can win their 14th straight. And if you want to go back and listen to the shows on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports, the one thing that I have been saying since November, until this team does not do it, you can bet I'm going to put my money on the Jayhawks to win the Big 12 regular season title. Will I be putting my money on the Jayhawks to win the national championship? Probably not.
No.
But to win the conference regular season title, whether it's a share or whether win it outright, because they're going to win it outright too, you got to put your money on the Jayhawks, because until somebody proves them wrong, they're not going to lose. And there was a guy by the name of Trey Young who gave some people a little bit of hope that maybe the dark side of KU basketball wouldn't win. There's a guy by the name of Bob Huggins who has a team that plays a little pressure defense that gave some teams some scares. There's a team down in Lubbock, Texas, who got off to a great start, beat KU early on in the regular season. There are all these reasons for people to say this team's not going to do it. They're too thin. Udoka Azubuike can't make free throws. Devontae Graham can't play 40 minutes. Savi Mykhailiuk, he can't make 7 threes a game. They can't do it. Well, to those people that really believe that, do you think you're going to buy into that next year?
They shouldn't. They shouldn't.
Because I said push all your money into the middle of the table.
You did.
When that West Virginia game came up 2 weekends ago and said, they win this game, they're going to win the Big 12.
Well, I had a feeling.
Push your money into the middle of the table.
I'll be honest, I was one of those guys. Now, I never said they wouldn't win it. But I said,
but you were nervous.
I was nervous. I was definitely nervous. My sister, who's a bigger KU fan than I am, she was just beside herself. She could hardly stand to watch the games because she got so nervous. But when they beat West Virginia, I knew then it was over. Because you knew they were going to just drill Oklahoma. They did. And you knew they were going to go into Lubbock on Saturday. And they did. And also, all those things that always seem to help KU.
Oh, they happen.
They happen. They happen every year. Just when it looks like, you know, they've got to have a tiny bit of help, and they always get it. So, KU, they're going to be champions for the 14th time. They can clinch it tonight with a win or a Texas Tech loss at West Virginia. They're playing, I believe, at the same time.
Yes.
So
you can just flip between the two channels.
Yeah, so you can just go back and forth. And Mo Bamba for Texas, it sounds like he may not play tonight. He's got a bad toe. And without Mo Bamba, I don't think Texas has much of a chance. And it's senior night. KU doesn't lose on senior night. I mean, when's the last? What have they won, like 32 years in a row on senior night?
They don't lose.
They don't lose on senior night. So KU's going to be the Big 12 champion, even if it was the most vulnerable team that Bill Self had. They've really played well when it mattered. And they've stepped on the gas, and it's another Jayhawk championship.
We talk about a little bit the McPherson magic, that sometimes when you get into a late game against a McPherson team inside the roundhouse, some weird things happen. The opponents tend to
tense up,
crumble under that looming umbrella shadow. As it starts to get over you, and people, they clinch. They get nervous. Weird things happen. And that is the same effect that the Kansas Jayhawks have on the rest of the teams in the Big 12. Because at the beginning of the regular season, there are always a couple of teams that look like they're going to be legit. And that there's the Trey Young types where people sit around and go, man, he's going to be able to go into Allen Fieldhouse and put up 40 points and beat that team. And when you look back at the teams that have gone into Allen Fieldhouse and won, the Marcus Smart Oklahoma State team, and I'm not counting all the teams that won this year because it's been a weird year, but to be able to go in there, you got to have this confidence. And at the beginning of the season, it can happen.
Yeah.
You get to the end of the season, when there are conference championships on the line, when there are teams that NCAA tournament seedings are on the line, Big 12 tournament seedings are on the line, and KU needs a win, I think that everybody clinches up a little bit more. And even when you're not going to Allen Fieldhouse, even when you know you need to get a win, like earlier this week when Texas Tech lost at Oklahoma State, Texas Tech is way better than Oklahoma State. But sometimes when that KU shadow starts to make its way over you, you do stupid things.
Yeah.
And we talked about that last week, that other teams at the end of games always do something to lose, while KU doesn't make stupid mistakes. And we saw it at the end of the KU-Texas Tech game. They just find ways to win.
They do. And credit Bill Self. I mean, you know, he's never given up on this team. He said all year, I think we're pretty good. He didn't give up on, Marcus Garrett. He had him in some key moments. Didn't give up on Mitch Lightfoot, who's Mitch has really come on and been a force. They only played seven guys on Saturday. But the common thread with the Jayhawks, when they're good, is because of Devontae Graham.
Yeah.
And Devontae Graham, to me, clinched Big 12 Player of the Year. Now, I know everyone's going to say Trey Young. How can you not pick Trey Young when he's going to lead the nation in scoring and rebounding? There's this little thing called winning. And that's what Bill Self said after the game. Bill Self says, you can point to all the stats you want. Yes, he's a great player. But he says, I'll take a winner over a stat guy any day.
And he doesn't do that very often.
He doesn't do that very often. And Devontae, I think playing 40 minutes all but two games in conference play, I mean, that guy, he's just indefatigable. You know, he just doesn't seem to get tired. And, man, did he hit some big shots at the end of that game. I had to tape it because I was up at State Wrestling, so I watched it when I got home. But the shots,
it was on a real tape. It wasn't on a DVR.
Yeah.
Steve had real tape.
Yeah, and it and it was, man, was did he just come up with big shot after big shot? And he is the Big 12 Player of the Year.
And the weird thing about the Big 12 all-league teams this year, it's going to be a really weird team because there are four or debatably five really good point guards that have been leading scorers, where you look at Devontae Graham of Kansas, Javon Carter of West Virginia, Keenan Evans of Texas Tech, Trey Young at Oklahoma. Those four, I mean, how can you not have them?
I'll be honest, I think it's those four and then either Dean Wade or Azubuike.
What about Barry Brown? Yeah, Barry Brown has had a heck of a year.
Barry Brown won't be in the top five, though. But, I mean, you could almost –
What about Mo Bamba?
Well, he's a freshman, and he doesn't score that much. So, I think you hit it on the head with those four guards. And I would probably put Dean Wade ahead of Azubuike at this point. Dean Wade
He's more of a scorer.
Yeah, and he's carried the Wildcats. I mean, he and Barry Brown, you know, have carried the Wildcats. K-State's got a chance to even finish second. You know, they have a chance to finish outright second or a tie for second. So, I mean, Bruce Weber, Coach of the Year. You know, possibility.
I'm thinking Chris Beard.
Chris Beard at Texas Tech.
I think it belongs to Bill Self.
Yeah, but you
can take this team and win the Big 12.
But I think Chris Beard probably is going to be the guy that gets it because Texas Tech, nobody picked them to be in the top
five.
Oh,
no.
They were picked 8, 9, 10, you know, down there.
Well, I've told you before, Steve, that I have a social media policy with myself that I don't fight with strangers on the internet. And there was an avid K-State fan who replied to a tweet I made about Texas Tech. And I said, this was way last week, and I said, how do you think their fans feel after watching KU destroy OU? And this guy responded and said, number one, there aren't any Texas Tech fans. And number two, I bet they're glad they're not KU fans. I mean, it's like he's yelling at me for being a KU fan, which I like KU. I watch all their games. But I'm not an avid KU fan.
Not like I am.
Number one, Texas Tech has 40,000 people that go to school there.
Yeah.
And it's like the fourth or fifth biggest school in the state. They have fans. Number two, do you think Texas Tech fans that have not finished higher than seventh place in the Big 12 in the last decade are not a little envious of Jayhawk fans that have won it every single one of those years? They hadn't finished better than seventh. Seventh. Seventh.
Yeah,
it's not like they were having a couple of good years mixed in there.
Yeah,
they didn't finish any better than seventh.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going, well, they don't have any fans, and they're not jealous of being a KU fan.
Well,
now, and even in football, they're a 7-5 team that Patrick Mahomes throws the ball 600 times a game.
Yeah,
I mean, this is it. I love the trolls that say things like
well,
that.
Well, it was interesting. I went on, there's KUAthletics.com, it's the Journal World guys, and it's basically the people that go on their forum are about the same 10 to 12 people because they just can't help themselves. They're allegedly Jayhawk fans, but they've trashed this team from, you know, when they lost to Texas Tech, it was on. The trash was on. They were heaping on Bill Self, and now there was one guy, in fact, that got on there almost tearfully, you could tell, apologizing for doubting the Jayhawks all year. He's just lambasted them all year, and now he's up there. He says, please accept my apology. Those people drive me crazy. I mean, those are people living their lives vicariously through Jayhawk basketball. No one should ever live their life through a sports team. I mean, that is just absolutely insane. You should never live your life through an athletic team. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are.
I was with a friend of mine who decided he wanted to go back and read some things that were said on KUSports.com, and he went back a little bit to the Frank Mason, whenever he had decommitted from Towson and was making his decision to go to KU and play basketball, and there were stories written, and all the comments that people were making and saying, I'm sorry, but there's no way Bill Self wins any of the next three Big 12 titles. That why are we signing guys that are three stars that are the 150th ranked in the class and that are going to Towson? I've looked at the film. This guy's terrible.
And, you know, Frank Mason arguably is one of the most probably top five beloved Jayhawks ever.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the way that guy played the last couple years especially, the heart that he showed –
Look at the great guards that have been a part of this 14-year
I mean, it wasn't, you know, Sharon Collins was just inducted into, you know, they put his number up in the rafters, but he didn't get the love like Frank Mason. Frank Mason, you know, epitomized what KU basketball is all about.
The other stat that I wanted to hit on, that I don't think this stat was circulating as much as some of the other ones about this KU streak, but maybe a more impressive number is that KU basketball teams have won eight consecutive road games at top 10 opponents.
That's impressive.
That is unbelievable. And you could say, even if you won 8 road games in a row in conference play, that's a pretty good number. But to win 8 games in a row on the road against top 10 opponents, that's unbelievable. Because every time they go on the road against a top 10 team, the environment is like what it was on Saturday in Lubbock, where College Game Day is there. Every person that owns a Texas Tech shirt has made their way to the arena. That it's an incredibly hostile environment because KU's always in
Let me just point out something. Look at the 8 other teams or 9 other teams in the Big 12. Look at their attendance for the KU game, and then look at their attendance for all the other conference games they had at home. I'll guarantee you, KU drew more people for every single game.
I just cannot believe that they've won 8 games in a row on the road against top 10 teams. Now, they have not won their last 8 games over top 10 teams when it comes to the NCAA tournament and when it comes to playing some really good teams at home. They do lose sometimes, or lose in the Sprint Center, wherever. But to win 8 true road games in a row over top 10 teams is unbelievable. So we've talked a lot of Big 12 basketball today as KU proved its dominance and made me look really smart. So we had to point that out, obviously. We'll take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little high school basketball with all the sub-states that are coming up and take a look at some things that will be happening for the McPherson High teams. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back on this afternoon's According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online anywhere in the world at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, he's Steve Sell. Steve, we are approaching the milestone, the 100th show of According to Jim. We're getting there.
How many?
We're at 98 today.
Okay.
So the 100th show, Wednesday.
Okay, do we
Unless
have...
Unless we get sick or
do we
have? Like
do
that.
We have the show during the auction?
Well, is it? Does the auction
they take
run from like 10 o'clock?
Yeah, I think they take a break, if I remember right, because we have our big auction coming up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If that's my understanding.
And doesn't it run from, well?
I think they take off.
It'll be 11 at noon.
We'll check on that.
Yeah, we'll figure that out for those of you that were very concerned. It shows that we were also.
Susan Newton would be very
concerned.
Big fan.
We've got lots of things. There's a chair. Have you seen the chair out there?
Oh, yeah.
The recliner.
Yeah.
That somebody's going to walk away with. I sat in it before we put the sign that says do not sit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. Oh, I could kick back in that thing and watch some basketball.
There you go.
Well, speaking of basketball, we've got McPherson High basketball and sub-state action coming up this weekend. We will talk about all the area sub-states here in just a moment. But let's look back to Friday night's games, senior night. When we start with the boys, I've never seen a shooting clinic like they put on Friday night. The boys started the game 7 of 10 from 3 in the first quarter, then followed that up with a 7 out of 10 from 3 in the second quarter. So 14 out of 20 from 3 at the half. That is absurd.
It's just ridiculous. And you know, I've covered high school basketball for 42 years, and I'd never seen a shooting display from 3-point like that. Now, I compare it to a game in 1969.
Ooh.
And I want to say, yeah, it was 1969. Indy JUCO and the Ville, the big rivals. And it was for the division championship. It was at our place in the old Losey Gym. And we had 5 guys from Chicago as our starters. And they all, I mean, if we'd had a 3-point line, I don't know what the score would have been. It ended up 99-59. But I think we scored like 50-some points in the first half. We made everything we looked at that night. And I remember I was like 10, I was 12 years old, and my ears were hurting when I left the gym because the crowd was so loud because it was standing room only. And Independence just came out and absolutely lit it up. We had Chester Fuller and Richard Lusane. The guys, they'd cocked the ball clear back behind their head, had this strange follow through, but they just could not miss.
Two of my favorite players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But anyway, that's what it reminded me of. And Mason Alexander made 5 out of 6. Ben Pyle made 5 out of 7. I think Jake Alexander was 3 out of 6. I mean, and for some reason, Circle's coach stayed in a 2-3 zone and never got out of it. And I kind of thought at some point, why don't you try a box and one or a triangle of two or man to man?
Stand out on the line.
Yeah.
Just stand at the 3-point line with your hands up.
But I mean, the rim wasn't even getting touched. So it was just, 54-18 at the half. And Coach Kinnaman said, what should I tell, you know, what do you expect me to tell them at half? I didn't have to tell them anything,
good
you know.
Good job.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of that, he said a product that was, you know, all the games getting postponed. And when you get this late in the year, you really don't want to scrimmage very much.
No.
Because you don't want to wear your guys out. And he said all they've done is shoot, and shoot some more. And obviously all that shooting's paying off.
And hopefully they save some of those three-pointers for this weekend. The girls' game on Friday night, it was a really slow start. It was weird. Now, it was 30-18 at the half, but the way the game was playing, it felt like it was a much wider margin because Circle had a couple of its best players hurt. And so this was not the same Circle team that is ranked 4th
that we saw earlier in the year.
Yeah. Right. Not even that same team.
Yeah, because they'd lost one of their starters to a ACL. Two of their other better players did not start. They played, but it was almost like Circle knew they couldn't beat the Bullpups, and they were trying to save their players, you know, try to ease them into the lineup, not play them very many minutes. And McPherson, Coach Stratham will be the first to tell you, we did not play a very good first half.
No.
And then the second half, it was normalcy return, played great defense. But both, you know, both teams, 18-1, both teams have won 16 in a row. Both teams are playing at a high level going in. The girls in the sub-state, I will be shocked, if either game Friday or Saturday is close. Because we're playing a pretty high level. And we've seen Hayes. We've seen Ulysses. We've drilled Bueller twice. And Ulysses had two games in the tournament where they didn't score 10 points. Even though they got a 13-7 record, they had two games in our tournament where they didn't score double digits in the first half. Now, they played well in the second half of those games, but McPherson's just too consistent, too good, too deep, too talented, and the girls shouldn't have any trouble. Now, the boys, this is going to be a great sub-state. It's probably the second best of the sub-states. If you go to midkansasonline.com today and go to Sell on Sports, I break down every single sub-state, boys and girls, and pick my teams that are going to advance the state. So the boys, the tournament is the second hardest. The first one is at Miege. It's Miege, Eudora, and Bonner. And the top three teams have a combined 8 losses, I believe it is. So that's a really good one. You know the Bonner Springs fans and Eudora fans, they got to be screaming. Bonner Springs actually is the number one seed, but you know they won't beat Miege on Miege's home court. And Eudora is like 14-6. So, you know, that's a really good sub-state. But Bueller Hayes, I'm real curious to see that game. Because last year, I thought Bueller would beat Hayes in the semis and then play McPherson in the finals. But Hayes won that game and then put up a pretty good battle against McPherson in the, you know, in the championship game. So, being at home, though, the Roundhouse is just going to be off the charts. And you're going to see your first actual,
I'm ready,
what I called actual Roundhouse crowd. Now, we had great crowds all year. We had great crowds for the tournament.
Tournaments were great.
But it wasn't every seat full like it's going to be. I mean, it was about 80-90% full for the tournaments. It's going to be 100% full on Saturday night for the sub-state championship games.
Well, you got my media guide packet of notes that I gave you yesterday. I was in here for several hours just staring at the record books and putting together some postseason numbers. And the postseason numbers for both of these teams
ridiculous.
Are just ridiculous.
They are.
And especially home sub-state games here in McPherson. That is the difference maker, and that was sort of the emphasis of some of the notes that I was taking to try and find some of those numbers. And we'll talk about those a little bit later on this week. We will take a break. I got some breaking news that went through just a moment ago.
Wow, breaking news.
It regards the Marcus Peters trade and the compensation that the Chiefs received from that. So we will talk about the area sub-state games, especially the ones happening tonight, as well as a little bit of this Marcus Peters deal when we come back from the break. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
All right, we got breaking news on today's According to Jim. I got the text from a buddy of mine who's the sports information director at a Dodge City Community College. He's a big fan of the show. So I need texts like this for breaking news. So the Marcus Peters trade happened, what day was that, Thursday,
yeah.
Friday
yeah.
of last week, where we were live on the air and giving our reaction when we found that out. Well, we're lucky enough again today to be live on the air when we find out what the compensation for this trade is. So the Chiefs traded Marcus Peters to the LA Rams, and remember that this trade is not final until the new league year begins March 14th. The Chiefs traded Marcus Peters to the LA Rams for a fourth round pick in this upcoming draft and a second round pick in the next draft.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know what
they got fleeced?
Do you know what perennial losers do?
They make trades like that.
They make trades where they have been claiming all offseason with their new general manager, Brett Veach, that they want to be younger. They want to get rid of some of the old guys on the roster. Perennial losers take the 25-year-old best defensive back in the NFL and trade him for a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick next year.
I'll bet.
That is so, so bad.
That is real bad.
That is so unbelievably bad.
Terrible.
And we said it last week.
We said a 1-3.
Think whatever you want about Marcus Peters. If you don't like the guy, okay. But you have to be able to understand that Marcus Peters' value is not a second-round pick in next year's draft and a fourth-round pick in the upcoming draft.
No.
His value, I would not have been shocked if they would have said, we're going to give you a first-round pick this year and a third-round pick this year and a high draft pick next year.
Yeah.
My first thoughts when I saw the Marcus Peters trade, if they get something pretty good out of this, I can understand. They get some really good draft picks, maybe even a really good player. But to trade away, debatably, the best player on the Chiefs?
You're going to be, that fourth round pick is about the number 150 guy in the draft.
What are you going to get out of that?
You're going to get a backup place kicker.
Or a backup wide receiver that's the gunner on special teams.
Yeah, man, that is a bad trade.
Marcus Peters created 15, well, he had 15 interceptions in 3 years in Kansas City. He created some other turnovers too. And you trade away a great, not a good, a great young player who's on a cheap contract. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're trading him away to avoid
cap space. Everything I read over the weekend was the Chiefs did not want to go through a drawn-out big money. When it came time for the big contract, they didn't want to deal with him because they knew he'd be impossible. So that's why they accelerated trading him now and getting something for him. And I think they got fleeced. I mean, the Rams, I mean – I want to do some trading with Brett Veach because I wonder what I could slicker him out of.
This is what losers do. And I mean, I'm a huge Chiefs fan. You've heard it here on this show. And I'm a Chiefs believer that there are some people that do not believe in them. I do believe in them. But to trade away, debatably, your best player for two bad draft picks, that's what losers do. Yeah. That's what bad management does.
Yeah.
And I typically don't say things like this. Those are bad, bad trades.
Yep.
It's almost unacceptable.
Yeah.
We will talk about that a little bit more tomorrow when we find out some more information. The Kansas City police tweeted and said that they have riot gear available just in case. So I guess that's good to know.
Well,
for all
one arrowhead drive,
Kansas
maybe.
City. I am just shocked by that we just got that news. So the Chiefs traded Marcus Peters, their best player, to the LA Rams for a second-round draft pick next year,
yeah,
and a fourth round pick this year.
Wow.
Wow, what a great deal for Kansas City.
Oh, boy.
Trying to stay young and make great moves and keep this team rolling. Yikes. All right, we'll talk sub-state basketball. We have 3 minutes left on our show. Tonight, we have four area games. The Heston boys will be at home against Sedgwick, and then they will be in the Sedgwick sub-state over the weekend. So if they win tonight, there won't be any Sedgwick boys at home.
They'll have no trouble.
The Inman girls taking on Mound Ridge at Mound Ridge, the Dridger Nation.
Yep.
The best rivalry west of the Mississippi, as Steve refers to it, and he'll get an email about that.
Yeah.
We are planning on making our way down to Mound Ridge for that one, so it should be fun to watch girls coach Brian Holloway, a favorite here on our Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show in the mornings. That should be fun tonight. Canton Galva's girls will be at Gossel, and then the other game in 1A Division 1, the Little River boys will be playing Thunder Ridge in Sylvan tonight.
They should have no trouble in that one either.
So those are all the sub-state games that are coming up tonight. Tomorrow, it's the opposite of everything that I just told you. So the 2A boys will be in action tomorrow, all of them with their roads leading to Hillsboro for sub-state this weekend. Canton Galva boys will be at Berean Academy tomorrow. The Inman boys will host Marion, and the Mound Ridge boys will host Harrington tomorrow night. Then the Heston girls will be at home against Trinity Catholic, and then the Little River girls will play Mankato Rock Hills on Tuesday night.
And Elyria's got bye, so they don't play till later in the week. So it'll be curious to see, and of course Smokey doesn't play until later because they're 4A. It'll be interesting to see how many teams from our area make it. I really think Heston will get one or two teams in. I think Elyria boys can make it. They're going to have to beat Central Christian probably to get in. I think the Smoky Valley boys will win. After that, the other teams are going to need some help because they're not one or two seeds. They're kind of in the middle of the pack.
It's a loaded weekend of sub-state games. I'll run through them real quick. Thursday night, the 2A girls teams will be at Hillsboro. So the Mound Ridge as well as Canton Galva, Inman if Mound Ridge is going to be there. So the 2A girls will be on Thursday night. Chapman will be, or the Smoky Valley Regional on the
Thursday
boys side, or the girls,
girls
side.
Girls Thursday,
girls
boys
will be
Friday.
Thursday. McPherson girls Thursday at home. 3A boys for Heston at Sedgwick. 1A Little River boys if they win tonight. And 1A Elyria Christian boys in Stafford. That's Thursday.
And they better eat at Elroy's Pizza. I told Coach Fields that. If your team wins, you better treat them some Elroys.
So we've got all sorts of sub-state games coming up tonight, all sorts of games coming up this week. We will keep you posted on that. Tomorrow's show, we will talk a little bit about this Marcus Peters deal because it is a disaster.
And a shout-out to Red Edmondson winning the Class 4A 120-pound state championship. I was there for that. Scott Radke getting second. The Bullpup 7th as a team. Make sure to go to midkansasonline.com and posted the story yesterday. Red Edmondson has two more years to build on his resume. Scott Radke has another year, and I got a feeling he might just win his weight class next year.
And we'll try and get Coach Kretzer on our coaches show on Saturday morning. All right, we'll wrap things up for today. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.